Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It is Saturday Magazine with Jackie. It is so good to be here with you this morning. In many rural households around the country, summertime means showtime. Every year, thousands of people attend and enter the many competitions in the many rural and many of the rural and county shows that take place all around the country. But of course, this year is going to be different because of the COVID restrictions. Now, in response, the Irish Shows Association has organized Virtual Show 2020 for later this month, and it sounds absolutely fantastic. On the line to tell us more, I have Catherine Cotter. She's the PRO for the Irish Shows Association. You're very welcome to the show this morning, Catherine.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks very much for having us on.
Yeah, no, it's so, I mean, you know, it's sad that, you know, we can't do it the normal way this year, but it's exciting that you've come up with this new idea. Can you give us an idea of what a day out at a show would normally look like if it wasn't for COVID?
Sure, Jackie. I suppose, firstly, if you ask 10 people that same question, they could give you 10 different answers, and they could be at the same show. It all depends on what your area of interest is or how you're involved, whether you're competing or whether you're just spectating at the show. So I suppose for the general public coming along to a show, a great family event, a great community event, and there's every show is different. I know myself, I would go to at least one show a week for the full summer.
Wow.
And I never get bored. Every show is different. So you'll have all kinds of things to entertain. So from a 9-month-old to a 90-year-old, there'll be something there.
Wow.
From children's entertainment and bouncy castles and amusement rides, all the different animals. One of my personal favourites at shows is always what we call the home industry section. So that's your cookery, your arts and crafts, horticulture, flower range and all of that. It's just wonderful to walk around and look at the amazing skills that people have around the country and keeping those traditional skills and
keeping them going. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Catherine, you know, it is a tradition for a lot of people to attend these shows, but this year it's going to look really different. Tell us what you've planned for the virtual show 2020. And by the way, fair dues to finding a way to do it. I love this.
As the year started, we started to hear about this virus in Asia and wondering how it was going to impact us. And like everybody else, I suppose at start, we thought, you know, this will be one of those winter viruses and, you know, it'll dissipate and disappear and we'll be fine by summer. But as time went on, we realized that, no, this is a real public health emergency, and we had to advise all of our shows to cancel in the interest of public safety, which, while it was saddening, it was a very easy decision to make. There was no choice in it. And then we said, we were talking to people, and everybody from show organizers to exhibitors, traders who operate at shows, we were all saying, you know, this is going to be such a hole for us, and we're going to miss the show so much for the year. And we said, well, what can we do? And then we said, you know, there's technology available to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're conducting our social lives by Zoom, Zoom quizzes and Zoom parties and Zoom meetings.
Yeah,
we're going to mass on Zoom, so why can't we try to do something virtual? And we said, we'll look at putting on some virtual competitions. And we worked with a company in Tullamore called Dotser Web, who make show management entry systems. And they were able to customize the system for us to allow people to upload photos and videos of their entries on an online platform, which was never done before. So we put together a schedule of classes, less than you would have at an ordinary show, but still 130 categories for people to enter.
Oh, wow.
And there's everything there. So there's competitions for horses, ponies, donkeys, cattle, sheep, poultry, eggs, dogs, pet art, baking, photography, vegetables, flowers, crafts, knitting, even Lego, and creative writing competition.
I love it. There is a wide range. I was looking at the categories and have to say, I think my favorite one I saw, there were a lot of good ones, but I think the one that really caught my eye was dog I would like to most quarantine with. Like that one. Because I have to say, I've been watching people's videos of their dogs, and I'm like, you know what? I really miss having a dog. I think I need a dog.
I hear you.
What's your personal favorite of the categories there? Do you have a personal favorite?
Oh, a bit like that. That's one that I love. And we've put in a few of those sort of topical classes just to mark the year that it is and the madness that we find ourselves in.
Yes.
So we've done a few of those. So the dog I'd like to be quarantined with. We have a special class in the craft section for the best handmade soft toy of a frontline worker. Any kind of frontline worker, be it a nurse, a doctor, a farmer, a postman, whatever the choice is, we've got the obligatory banana bread.
Of course.
And a few more little things like that. We've got a creative writing competition as well for children, for those under 10s and under 16s, to tell us their story from lockdown. It'd be a great memory to have to look back
on. Oh, yeah.
In years to come. And it can be their true story, or they can make up what they wish happened. it's up to them.
The imagination. I love children's imaginations. So tell me, Catherine, how can people enter if they want to see what's available to enter into, and how can they get their stuff entered into the competitions?
Okay, so first thing I'll say is they need to be quick, because the entries are closing at midnight on Tuesday, the 4th of August. So if they go on to our website, which is irishshows.org, go to our virtual show page, and there you'll see the rules, and you'll see the various list of competition categories. Go through the categories, see what classes maybe you might like to take part in, and what the requirements are for it. So if you're entering animals, generally those classes will have photo and a video element. Can't really judge an animal from a photograph. For the crafts, the knitting, the baking and everything like that, it's photographs that you submit. You prepare your exhibit, take your photograph, take your video, go onto the website and click enter. You can do it straight from your phone if your photographs or your videos are on your phone. Save you time.
So easy.
Yeah. And click enter. You'll have to create a profile for a sign. It'll bring you through all of that on screen. Then upload your photos and videos. Click submit. And then your entry goes in. For judging, then the entries are numbered, so they're all anonymous. And the judges log into a portal. They just see the numbered entries. They don't know who they belong to.
Keep it nice and fair. I like it.
That's it. And then we'll have our virtual show day on the 22nd of August.
And do people need to register for that, or can they just log in?
They can just, it will be streamed live on our website. They don't need to register or log in, so fingers crossed.
It all goes as planned. I know technology
is
so
far.
It'll all work. It will. Listen, this is a great idea, Catherine. It certainly sounds like a lot of fun and a great thing for the whole family to get involved in. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us, Jackie.
Absolutely. So that's the Irish Shows Association Virtual Shows 2020. Like Catherine said, it's taking place on Saturday, the 22nd of August. And if you want to enter a competition, the closing date is next Tuesday, the 4th of August. So you got to get your skates on and get it done. You can find out more at irishshows.org or of the Irish Shows Association Facebook page as well. So have a look there, and best of luck, and may the best man or woman or child win. And there'll be special rosettes for 2020, six different places. So sounds really good. Spirit. Greystones Beach in County Wicklow was visited by a rare tropical bird this week, and our next guest was able to positively identify it as a brown booby. Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland, you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Many thanks for having me. It was actually a couple of weeks ago. It was the 13th of July.
Very good. So a couple of weeks ago. I am so envious because, like, I love to birdwatch. I think I've interviewed you before. I've interviewed somebody from Birdwatch anyway, and you guys inspire me. And I've put up feeders in the back garden and got the kids watching the birds, and we're trying to identify things. But the most exotic thing we've ever had is a sparrowhawk. So
a nice bird. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty cool. It's a very interesting bird, but we're not here to talk about it. We're here to talk about the brown booby, and it's just so amazing. Where does he normally live?
So brown boobies, they're a relative of a seabird people might be familiar with in Ireland called a gannet. A very large seabird.
Okay.
And they're from tropical waters. So this bird, we know, would have come from somewhere in the tropical Atlantic. So it could be the West Indies, perhaps, the coast of Panama or Costa Rica, maybe. Or it could even be West Africa, Cape Verde Islands, that area.
Wow. That's
much further south than Ireland, certainly.
Yeah. So who was it to first spot the bird?
Well, the thing was, there were a lot of people on the beach that day. It was a lovely day in Greystones that day, and there were a lot of people swimming and having picnics on the beach, and I was actually out there walking myself. And this bird was just there on the shoreline. It was actually walking up to people. It was actually still on people's picnic blankets at some stage as well. And the thing is that often if you would see a bird like that on a beach or a rare bird, it tends to avoid people or tends to be very, very shy. But brown boobies are known for their tameness. That's where the name actually comes from. The name booby originally meant like a fool or an idiot. And centuries ago, sailors called the bird that because when they were traveling on their voyages, they found these these birds on beaches, they can literally just pick them up and unfortunately kill them and eat them. So they're known for this foolish behaviour. So knowing they're very tame around humans, it wasn't unexpected to see it behave that way, but it certainly was very unexpected to see one in Ireland, because as you said, it's not a species that should be here at all, and this is the first time a live one was seen from land in Ireland, so it's amazing really.
And so I have a couple of questions. I have a few questions running through my head. First of all, how do people recognize it? Because, you know, if I saw it, I would go, oh, it's just another local bird. You know, how do people know that, oh, no, that one's quite different?
Well, I think it certainly stuck out, first of all, because of its tameness, but also it does look quite unusual. It's not a bird that most people would be familiar with, and it does look in some ways kind of comical. And so a beautiful bird with a lovely sort of chocolate brown head and back and and this lovely white chest and belly, and but then really, really bright, a huge yellow webbed feet and a big strong yellow triangular beak.
Yes.
So it was actually very, very striking, really, quite an unusual bird.
Easy to spot.
And this one was behaving in a particularly tame manner. So I was walking around on the beach, so it was seen for 2 days. But unfortunately, the sad end of the story: the bird started to behave strangely on the second day, and then was taken into care by the Kildare Animal Foundation and the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Unfortunately, didn't survive.
Oh.
Yeah, it often happened. It generated a lot of interest while it was in Greystones. A lot of people came to see it. Became a bit of a local celebrity, and I think it was a wonderful ambassador for birds and for bird watching and for conservation. So for an organisation like ours, Birdwatch Ireland, that's really important. People are really starting to see and understand more about connections to the natural world. And I think during the COVID restrictions, I think birds became a real lifeline.
Oh, they have, for sure they have. Yeah, they're really entertaining. And they're like, we have birds that, we have the naughty birds and we have the good, well-mannered birds, and our kids talk about them all the time. And the other question that I have about the brown booby is, like, how did it get so far from home? Because that's quite off its path, isn't it?
It is. And in the last couple of years, there's been a slight tendency for some of these tropical seabirds, both from the Atlantic and indeed the Pacific, to turn up in northern European waters. Mm. So there have been a few brown boobies seen off the coast of southern England in the last couple of years. And you know, it's actually a little bit worrying when that starts to happen. Nobody can say for sure why it's happening, but it could have something to do with warming ocean temperatures with climate change, because these are tropical birds. They're used to fishing in warmer waters, and it's certainly something that didn't happen, let's say, 40 or 50 years ago. These type of birds would never have turned up in Europe, and now there are a few each year. So, you know, there's a sign that change is happening, and so that's one of the reasons why monitoring birds is so important. A lot about the health of the environment and the health of the whole ecosystem of our planet by monitoring them. So great to see this bird, absolutely wonderful creature, but you know, maybe there's a slight warning sign there as well that something's going wrong and out of kilter with our ocean.
Yeah, and the bird didn't survive, so as you mentioned, do they know why it didn't survive? Was it because it was out of its environment where it should have been, or did it have something else wrong with it?
Well, as far as I could tell, you know, a full thorough examination was done, and the bird was very malnourished.
Okay.
So it may well have been that it just wasn't equipped to hunt properly, to fish properly in Irish waters. It was catching, I certainly saw when I saw it at the beach, it was catching some fish, but probably not enough to help it survive. And it obviously had flown thousands of kilometres further north than it would have.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know how much food it had got on the way, but it was absolutely exhausted. So the poor bird was 500 grams underweight.
Ooh,
that's very significant.
That's
well over a third of its body weight. So that's very significant. Just couldn't come back from it, unfortunately.
And why was it on its own? Would it not have been travelling with other birds of its kind? Or, you know, that's another question in my mind.
Well, these birds are real ocean wanderers. They'll wander around the tropical Atlantic, and they often do that alone. Obviously, in the nesting season, the pairs come together, but they actually nest in quite large colonies. I've seen them myself in the West Indies, gathering together in huge groups for nesting. But outside the breeding season, and for younger birds too, because this wasn't a fully adult bird, it wasn't breeding age yet, they do tend to wander a bit. And it may well have been it got caught up in some sort of storm system, or something went wrong with its internal navigation system, and it just ended up going much too far north. And maybe it was following warmer ocean currents heading further north, and then got itself into difficulty and didn't know how to get back. That's just speculation that we don't know. There's a lot we don't know about these ocean wanderers. They're very hard to monitor. But certainly it was on its own. But there was another report of a brown booby around the same time, actually just the day before, the news only broke afterwards, quite far off the coast of County Cork. I think it was over 70 nautical miles out to sea. It landed on a Spanish fishing vessel. So we know there were at least two in Irish waters at the same time.
Interesting.
So there was some sort of a movement happening.
Yeah. So he wasn't completely alone, like they might have come from the same place.
Who knows?
Oh, it's like a mystery to solve. In your work with Birdwatch, Niall, what other rare birds have you come across in Ireland? How often does this happen?
Oh, well, this is a particularly rare one, but there are a lot of people in Ireland who are very interested in rare birds, and then word spreads quite quickly, so there are many that happen. There have been a few other ones this year, and so there was a bird called a short-tailed shearwater that was found on a beach in County Waterford a couple of months ago, and that bird was in a very bad condition when it was found, and unfortunately it subsequently died in care, similar to what happened to the brown booby. That's a bird that breeds in Australia and winters in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Japan and Alaska. So it was in completely the wrong ocean. This is the first time this bird was ever seen in this part of the world. There's another bird called a cayenne tern, another type of seabird, which is from the northern coast, the Caribbean coast of South America. That turned up in Wexford at Our Lady's Island Lake, where there's a big cone. Mm-hmm. Another bird called a sandwich tern there. And so there have been a few this year. Ireland is well positioned for rare birds to turn up here, because we're the first port of call for birds across the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And so the last point of port of call for birds that are leaving Europe. So we're sort of crossroads for many of these migratory species.
Very interesting, very interesting. And tell us just quickly a little bit about the work you do at Birdwatch Ireland and how people might get involved, because I think you guys do great work there.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. Yes, so Birdwatch Ireland, for those who don't know, we're a charity. We're the largest environmental and conservation charity in Ireland. And we're supported and funded by members and donors, people who like our work. So one of the best ways to help us is to become a member of Birdwatch Ireland, and we also have a special appeal at the moment. We've been hit, like many other charities, by the COVID situation. Our funding is down, and it's difficult, and we need to keep this work. We've been going for over 50 years now, and we'd like to keep going for as long as possible.
Absolutely.
So people can find the details at birdwatchireland.ie, and you can also find loads of information about Ireland's birds there. Also look for us on Facebook and on Twitter. We're very active on social media. Ask us questions, anything you'd like at all. Send us photographs, sound recordings. If you wanted a bird identified, we're there to help you.
Oh, great. Niall, thanks so much today. And thanks for giving us all the info on the brown booby. It's a very interesting story. And it's so sad the bird didn't survive, but it's very interesting all the same.
Yeah, it was a great ambassador for nature. Thanks very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland. We thank him so much for coming on today. Birdwatchireland.ie is where you can go to get more information, and you can follow them on social media as well.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.